Welcome back, folks. 8:34 on this sunny but cold day in northeastern Pennsylvania. It's going to be a beautiful day, and I hope you make the most of it. We've been talking about the fiscal gallows. It's not a cliff. A cliff is a naturally occurring event. It is a fiscal gallows. It was constructed by the Republicans and Democrats in the hope that one or the other of them would be in power and they would be able to do whatever their agenda is. It didn't work out that way because the American people overwhelmingly said, you know what, you're both bums, but we don't have any other options, so you're back in. And now we're faced with the fiscal cliff. We're faced with a disaster. But one of the things that's going on, both sides are negotiating from presumptions about who won the election. And I've been making the case that those presumptions are primarily on based on false premises. The Republicans are saying, well, the Democrats won, so we need to concede. And the Democrats are saying, well, the Democrats won, so the Republicans need to concede. And, of course, the result of that is going to be that the Republicans concede. But the facts on the ground are that Obama lost 10% of his voter base from 2008 to 2012. Romney lost about 1.4%, Obama lost 10%, and collectively the American people are saying what you're doing isn't working. And so there's all this kind of talk about we have to reach out to this group, we have to reach out to that group. Most of that stuff is wrong. It's wrong. Romney actually won more of the youth vote than Obama. He even among young women under 30 won by a slight edge. But one group he did not win under, that he did not have a significant impact in, is Hispanics. And as I pointed out to you just before the break, the demographics on the Hispanic community have changed dramatically from 1980 when Ronald Reagan won election, and even from the 2000s when George Bush won a large percentage of Hispanics. The truth is that now half of all babies born to Hispanic women are illegitimate, and that means that, of course, there's a lot, and they're also, of course, the fastest growing. They're growing at twice the rate of the rest of the population, and their unwed birth rate is 1.5 times that of blacks. Now, I say all of that to set up the conversation we're about to have with Bruce Thatcher. Bruce has written a book, and he's going to explain to us what a sane immigration policy would look like that would create an environment where we're not bringing in a dependency class that is going to institutionalize permanently the growth of the welfare state. Bruce, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on, David, and thanks for having me, giving me the chance to talk something other than narrow immigration, in quotes, reform that we hear in Washington. Most politicians now have a very, very awakening on this subject since the election, but they're coming out with just very narrow proposals. The DREAM Act probably epitomizes those things.
Why is that, Bruce?
Well, I think it's because politicians seem to have a very limited taste for tough issues.
No, I mean why is the DREAM Act very narrow? Explain exactly what the DREAM Act is and why it's so narrow. And then we'll go there. I agree with you, but we'll go there.
The DREAM Act focuses on the needs and concerns of a class of illegal immigrants rather than the needs of the country. It says we have a lot of children of illegal immigrants in America. Obama has said there's more than 800,000 of them who suddenly don't have the rights of citizenship. Not suddenly, they never have had.
Yes.
And the DREAM Act is an effort, and through no fault of their own. Their concerns are very real. They didn't choose to come here. They were brought here as children by their parents.
Or born here,
but they were brought here illegally.
Right.
So the DREAM Act says, let's find a way to make them legal. Let's give them a path to citizenship. And that's fine. Those concerns are relevant, but they're not urgent. They're not urgent because 6 months ago, in the midst of the campaign, Obama issued an executive order, used his parole power to stay the deportment of all these illegal immigrant children and arrange for them to get work permits. Now, this gives lots of time to fix the whole immigration policy. There's no urgency to jump on a DREAM Act that legitimizes the executive order he issues and adds one more factor, which is citizenship.
Bruce, I just want to pause there for a second because I know that some of our listeners are hearing what you're saying and they're saying, wait a minute, what the president did was wrong. That's not the point. That has nothing to do with this argument. It is what it is. It's done, and there's nothing that can be done about it. The point is, where do we go from here, right?
Right, exactly right. And where we go from here is to not get sidetracked. My fear is that with all of the politicians focusing on one or two issues, the Dream Act and let's enforce the border, is that we'll pass something like that, and then that'll satisfy Washington. But what we really need to do is deal with the much, much deeper issues of our flawed immigration policy. Starts with, what's the objective? Immigration ought to support a clear national interest. And I'll bet you nobody in Washington can tell you anymore what our immigration policy is supposed to support.
Bruce,
it's a mishmash.
Bruce, let's go back, say, 100 years. What was the national interest? That because our immigration policy wasn't always what it is now.
Indeed, it wasn't. We've had three immigration policies, and from 1798 or so up until 1921, immigration was clearly focused on just two things. And the major thing was populate the country. What this country needed was to populate its land so as to grow its economy and solidify its position on the land, on the expanding land. That was clear, and that worked well. By 1921, that need didn't exist anymore, and the clear policy came to be, let's focus on the economic well-being of America, and that means less immigration. And so immigration was restricted to do that and to maintain the demographics. And that held until 1965. In 1965, through the Hart Act, we had a change in policy in the midst of civil rights that said we need to stop all vestiges of ethnic immigration or ethnic preference in our immigration policies. And so we changed the policy in 1965. And it started out with a couple of goals, and it's now proceeded along until there's probably six different goals, and that's too many. You can't serve six different interests.
All right, folks, I want you to understand, we're talking to Bruce Thatcher, and as you can hear, Bruce is not, he is not a politician. He is not somebody who is trying to just put forward some kind of policy. He is someone who has looked deeply into this issue. His book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work, is available online, and we'll publish an article linking you to that, because I think it's a book you're going to want to read. Bruce, to sum up, we've had three basic periods, 1798 to 1921, where the emphasis was on bringing in population. 1921 to 1965, it was focused on the economic well-being of the nation, not the immigrants, the nation. And then from 65 on, we've basically been winging it.
Almost winging it. The current policy is called the preference system, and it has just an incredibly complex systems in place for deciding who gets to come to the country. More than half of the immigrants who come to this country legally now come to America meeting only one qualification, and that is that they have relatives already in America. More than half. They don't have any economic skills. They don't necessarily speak English. They just have relatives. And that's because the current act exempts close family members from any numerical limitation on immigration. But if you want to come here because you have economic skills, there are all kinds of limitations. There are numerical limitations in total, and there are numerical limitations for each country in the world to send immigrants here. And as a result,
Bruce, this makes me think that what we have is a policy that is more focused on how we feel than what's good for America.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. I hadn't even thought of that myself. It is. The policy and the actions of all of the current laws and of all the current conversation in Washington is exactly that. How do we feel? How do we think the world feels about us?
Yeah, I would feel bad if I had a relative somewhere else in the world who couldn't come here and become a citizen. So let's just make our policy that, regardless of the impact it has on us, our standing in the world, our strength, our economy, ignore all of that and just say, how would I feel if I were in their shoes?
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, there's 150 million people, it's estimated, in the world who want to go somewhere else, the refugees. We can't take in everybody. We have to make some decisions, and most countries with successful immigration policies have made decisions that serve their own national interests, and they take in selected immigrants.
Bruce, I rarely have a guest that I do this with because most of them, frankly, just aren't that interesting. But your comments, and we're up against the break, your comments lead me to believe there's much more that we need to learn from you. Could you stay?
I will. Sure.
Thank you. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.
The David Madeira Show.
David Madeira.
On 94.3 FM, The Talker. Giving you the other side of the story. David Madeira on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
Welcome back, folks. Never more true than today. We've been busting the false premises under which people are operating, and one of those is the premise of immigration. Bruce Thatcher, author of Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. And frankly, folks, I've been studying this issue for 20 years, and in the last 10 minutes, I've learned more about where we're at and where we're poised to find out where we need to go than I've ever learned. And I thank Bruce for that. Bruce, one of the questions that came up while we were having our own little internal discussion here during the break is you mentioned that there's a preference system and that more than half of all current immigrants are based on this preference system, which is not skill-based. It's not how you can contribute to America. It is relative-based. How do they prove that they've got relatives?
They say they do.
You know, there was a fear.
That's oversimplification. There's a little bit more than that. Until very recently, all immigrants had to apply for immigration from the country where they were born, from their native country. They couldn't come to America first. Now, Obama's trying to change that, and has in some respects, but applicant for an immigrant visa had to go to a U.S. consulate in their native country and apply, and at that point there were certain tests, but they're usually, when you're talking about bringing in more than half a million every year, and that is the number of immigrants, that's not the number of family. That's the number of close family. You can't do a lot of checking.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on because I do want to get, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I do want to get to your very important point, which you lay out in the book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. You talk about what a sane policy would look like. What would a sane policy look like?
Well, a sane policy would start at the beginning. The first thing it would say is, what do we want immigration to do for us? What is our national interest? So that's step one. And every country with a successful immigration policy has done that very clearly. And we did, too, in the past. The second step is pass laws that are clearly focused on supporting only that policy, not a mishmash of, gee, what do my constituents want today? What would I like to do to help my election? Have a cohesive legal system that supports just that clear policy. And the third step is make sure that you're achieving effective assimilation of immigrants. We have problems in all those, and we don't do any of those things right now.
All right, so what would, and by the way, that's fabulous. I wish that our elected officials had that kind of clear, cogent thinking. What should be the national interest?
You know, this system will work with several different national interests. I happen to feel, and I know a lot of other people do, that the national interest for America is economic. We need immigration to support the health and growth of our economy, without introducing any security concerns and without detracting from national solidarity. Economy should be primary, and it's really not now.
Okay. So that's fairly straightforward. health growth without introducing obvious national security risks. So you don't want people who are terrorists or have ties to terrorists. But other than that, look for people who can meet needs, meet our needs. Not that we can meet their needs, but we can, they can meet our needs.
And there's really two or three very simple tests for that, as studies have shown. If immigrants were required first to be educated, have an education, you can't come to, if we would say, if you want to come to America, you have to be educated at whatever grade level your age indicates in your own country. And second, you have to speak English as an immigrant to come to this country. And those two things would suddenly dramatically shift the kinds of immigrants that were coming into this country and their ability to contribute to the economy.
And what's the third? Were you going to go with three, or was it just two? You said education and English.
Those two are the key ones. The third one is make sure you meet the requirements of all the other requirements for an immigrant to come in, and there's a whole list of health and disease and, as you said, security and so forth.
Oh, okay. All right. That seems fairly straightforward. And then the laws are simple, I mean, because the laws follow from that. And once you know what you're trying to accomplish, you simply craft laws that do those things, and you watch those laws to see if they're accomplishing those things, and that's simple. Now, the third point, and I really appreciate your time, again, the best 15 minutes I've spent on radio, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work, by author Bruce Thatcher. Assimilate, you said, assimilate. How do you do that?
And the assimilation is largely a personal, individual process that takes place with individuals who come over here. And the reason for assuring knowledge of English and education is that people who already know English and are educated assimilate much faster. Assimilation is the process of shedding your past country loyalties and cultural preferences and adopting the cultural preferences and allegiances of the United States.
This is hard for us as a nation because we've so embraced the concept of multiculturalism. We've been teaching our kids for a long time that it means that every culture and every nation and every history is equal in terms of its value and contribution to humankind. What you're suggesting requires us to admit that America is special, that America is unique, and that it has a distinct set of values which, if broadly shared, lead to success.
You bet. We have, and you have gotten into a reality which is there are a lot of anti- or contra-assimilation activities going on. You can see them in the newspapers periodically. We have as national holidays in many areas of the country celebration of things like Cinco de Mayo, which is a Mexican, it isn't a Mexican holiday anywhere except in America.
Yeah.
Mexico doesn't celebrate it,
yeah,
but we do.
Kwanzaa.
And we make it an official holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. Bruce, I am so grateful that we connected. I love what you've got to say, and I'm encouraging people to get this book. I rarely go out and advocate for a book, but this is one you've got to understand. Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you very much for having me.
Folks, I'm going to post a link to this book where you can buy it on our show site and on our Facebook page. You need to get this. And frankly, I'll tell you what, this is what you need. This is what America needs, is clear, cogent thinking like guys from Bruce Thatcher. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.